Alrighty, let's open our Bibles today to Acts chapter 9. We're going to talk today about the topic of risky business. Risky business. Now, that's not talking about going out and, you know, getting into some trouble like sometimes happens. But, you know, we're going to look at the idea of what it is about different relationships on how relationships sometimes can be a little bit risky. You know, some people play the stock market. I don't know if anybody here does. I know maybe, you know, somebody does every now and then. But, you know, stock market to me is kind of risky. You know, I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm not the best investor in the world. You know, I jump in usually when it's high, and I usually drive the price down, you know. And usually when I go fill up with gas, it's going to go down the next day. So you guys just follow me around, or if you see my truck in getting gas, you know, wait a day, it'll go down, you know. But there's something else that's kind of risky that you and I get involved with, and that's kind of relationships. You know, some of the relationships that you and I are involved in can be very healthy, can't they? They can uplift us, they can build us up, but also some relationships can be really toxic. I don't know if you've ever been involved in a toxic relationship, a relationship that poisons you, and it sucks the life out of you and destroys you. And what happens sometimes from experience is the fact that, you know, past relationships on how we interacted with them can have an effect on what we're doing right now today and in future relationships. And we're going to look at it from the aspect of the apostles were faced with this same decision. You know, we've probably never been faced with a decision like this, but, you know, they had to make a decision on whether to proceed with this relationship or to stay away from this relationship. So Acts chapter 9, verse 26 to 31, it says, when he came to Jerusalem, and we're talking about Saul now, many of you know him as Paul. When he came to Jerusalem in verse 26, he was trying to associate with the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took hold of him and brought him to the apostles and described to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had talked to him, and how at Damascus he had spoken out boldly in the name of Jesus. And he was with them, moving about freely in Jerusalem, speaking out boldly the name of the Lord. And he was talking and arguing with the Hellenistic Jews, but they were attempting to put him to death. But when the brethren heard of it, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him away to Tarsus. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace, being built up, and going on in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it continued to increase. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for your anointing here today. Lord, we thank you for the joy of the Lord that is our strength. And Lord, we just ask that your anointing be here today. Lord, we thank you for revealing your truth to us in our hearts. Lord, help us to be set free from maybe past barriers that hold us back. And Lord, just help us to press in. And we thank you, Lord, for the anointing here that is able to break all yokes of bondage. Lord, I yield to the gift you give me. I use it for your glory. I pray for words that will pierce and penetrate to leave my lips and the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You know, the Apostle Paul, or Saul, I'm going to go back and forth so you guys just know which one I'm talking about. He, you know, when he talked to the Jews, he went by Paul. And when he talked to when he talked to the Greeks, he went by Paul. And when he talked to the Jews, he went by Saul. Now, he had stirred up quite a deal. He had got so on fire, he's going out and just arresting people and, you know, even been a part of, you know, throwing them in jail and maybe having them beaten, and even was around when Stephen was put to death. And so he had somewhat of a reputation. So everywhere he went, something happened. Well, then the same thing happened right after he got saved. He was so zealous and on fire that right after he got saved, he went out and he started stirring up stuff again, but yet in the other way. So what they did with all this, it was hard to trust him. And I don't know about you, but maybe sometimes in a relationship, it's hard to trust somebody, especially if you've been hurt. You know, life consists of a series of risks. We all face risks from day to day. Here's some risks that you and I maybe experience. You know, maybe a toddler, maybe you've had a toddler, or maybe a child, you know, and you're letting them take their first steps. I mean, most of us have been around, you know they're going to hit their head, don't you, sometime or other. It's going to happen, right? They're going to hit that coffee table. That's just the way it is. So, but you still have to risk it because you want them to learn how to walk. You know, maybe some of you girls maybe have never had to deal with this, although things have changed, so I don't know how it works now. I've been out of circulation, you know, about 30 years. But, you know, praise God, I'm glad I am out of circulation. But, you know, boys, remember that first time you had to ask a girl out on a date? That first time you asked somebody? How, you know, it was risky, wasn't it? Man, you laid it on the line. You know, whether she was going to say yes or whether she was going to say no. And we've all probably had no every now and then. It happens. You know, maybe as a parent, the first time you handed those car keys over, your kid has got their permit, and then all of a sudden they've went through all the stuff and, you know, met the state's requirements, and at 16 they get their license and they're ready to go solo. And that first day, you hand them those keys, and you know they're going to drive out of that driveway, and they're going to be all alone out there in that world. Right? That's risky business. Because I know I was one of those people. I was very risky. And, you know, another one we don't think about, but maybe you work for somebody. But can you imagine what it's like to be a business person, and you turn over the cash register to somebody you just hired? You know, here it is, your income, and you put all this trust into somebody that's going to, may, you know, be running the cash register and have access to all your finances there for that day or whatever. So that's risky business. So we all have to deal with risk from time to time. And how you and I have probably adapted over the years is that, you know, we process this information internally and we weigh out the risk based on several different factors. Number one is, am I naturally a risk taker? Now, all of us would probably say, yes, that's me, man. I'm a risk taker. You know, I like to take a risk, you know. But as you look at your life, are you naturally inclined to play it safe? Or are you the type of person that rolls the dice, man? Just lets her go. Now, Jason, he does investments. Some of you may know that. One of the first things I believe he asks you when you walk into his office and tell him you want to maybe do some investing, he'll say one thing to you other than hello. And did you bring your checkbook? I guess the third thing he's going to say to you is, what is your risk level? What do you feel comfortable with investing? Are you looking for long-term growth? Or are you willing to maybe be a little more risky with your money and, you know, not be afraid to lose it? And maybe go for something that's a little more aggressive, right? So we all have different levels of risk on what we want to do. Another thing that affects how we weigh things out sometime is, what do my past experiences tell me? You know, a lot of us has been in some, you know, different situations, especially in relationships. You know, a lot of us has been there, did that, bought the t-shirt, right? Yep. You know, we've had those situations that happen, you know, and maybe you put your trust in somebody. You know, and really what happens is past success or past failure can affect how we process this information. You know, maybe you've been hurt by somebody in a relationship, maybe a close friend. So now it's very difficult for you to be able to let somebody in. You're always holding them away and not letting them in close because you don't want to feel that pain anymore, that pain in your heart. We've all felt that. You know, it's unfortunate. A lot of kids go through this, right? You know, as part of the, I don't know if it's a rite of passage, but, you know, when they get out there and they, you know, they want to, you know, have a boyfriend or they want to have a girlfriend, and they get out there and they let them hormones and them emotions get involved, and all of a sudden the other person doesn't reciprocate, or they go out with somebody else on them. It breaks their little hearts. That happens. Well, if we're not careful, we don't let that get healed, that's going to affect the way we get into relationships later. That's why I try to encourage kids, you know, just learn how to be a friend. The boyfriend, girlfriend stuff will come later. If you learn how to be a good friend, things will go a lot better. I just read a discouraging statement in a book that I'm reading right now. It says that as we get older, we tend to make more of our decisions based on past experience instead of out of our imagination. We tend to live out of the probable instead of the possible. And that's scary. Because we all want to live with that imagination of how big is our God. God can, with God, all things are possible. But the sad thing is, as you and I get older, we start to make all of our decisions based on the past. And if that past is bad, it's going to hold us in bondage, isn't it? It's going to hold us back. from being able to accomplish everything that God wants us to do. And so we need to get to the place where, you know, we start to see the possibility of what can happen instead of just limiting ourselves to what has already happened from time to time. You know, sometimes we base our decisions on what other people say, and I think that's kind of something because, you know, we're willing to take a chance based on their experience. And sometimes you do that when you make a big purchase, right? You know, maybe you're going to get a car or something like that, and you see somebody that has it. Hey, how does that work for you? Oh, it's a great vehicle. Having a great time with it. Good car. Never breaks down. So you're willing to trust their experience when you make that decision. Because you and I all, and I've mentioned this before, we all have a reward versus risk ratio that's been established in our head. And how we do that is sometimes we weigh out potential gain versus potential pain. And that's how we base things and try to figure that out in the area of relationships. You know, it's all new. Sometimes when you start to meet new people and start to do new things and, you know, these things that are going to be happening in your life and what you do and how much you're going to trust them. You know, when I was younger, I had a couple mottos, and I've mentioned them before perhaps. You know, the old one says, no pain, no gain. You know, that's a good one, isn't it? You know, one I used to like also is no guts, no glory. You know, when I used to ski. You know, I mean, to me, the closest way to get between two points is fast as you can. You know, it didn't matter if you rolled several times getting there. As long as you got up and you weren't nothing broken, you're good. You know, and that's just how I used to live my life. But, you know, as you get older, you know, here's what I think we do. We say we don't want any pain and God can get all the glory instead of no guts, no glory, right? You know, I don't want the pain anymore. And that's just how I want to do it. So the hardest risk versus reward ratio I think we do is sometimes used in relationships. In relationships. And how that happens is as you're entering into a new relationship, whether it be a personal or professional relationship. Now, I'm old enough to know that I've watched a few things and I've been involved in a few things. So I know that sometimes things don't work out according to plan. Right? You know, I've been around long enough to know that sometimes when people say they do, then they say they don't anymore, right? And I've been around to watch different people that's entered into business together, that they start out and they want to start this business and they do things, and then, you know, maybe a little process of time along the way, they can't even stand to be in the same room together. Those things happen. Relationships. The pain and what hurts and what happens. You know, and then another decision we have to make is maybe you're involved in a toxic relationship. Now, I hope it's not your marriage. You know, I hope it's not that one, because that's tough. But I'm talking about maybe a casual acquaintance or a relationship or somebody you work with. You know, somebody that you're with, and, you know, you have to make that decision. You know, this relationship is killing me. It's choking me. Do I want to end this relationship, this toxic relationship, this poison that is being spoken into my life? So that's a decision sometimes we have to make. Then the hardest one is choosing to forgive and restore a broken relationship. Maybe somebody, you know, somebody done somebody wrong song. You know what I mean? Been there, right? Been there, did that, got the t-shirt, been on both ends of it. I know where I've hurt people. I know where people's hurt me. Those things happen. The part of that relationship on how to, you know, choose to forgive and to let go of that pain so that relationship can be restored. So what we get from all that is the fact that when we let people close, it's risky business. It's risky. But to me, it's well worth it. It's well worth letting somebody get close. Because the benefits, I believe, definitely outweigh the problems that could happen. And this is kind of where Barnabas was. You know, and when he did this, he drugged the apostles into it too. Because, you know, when Paul was converted by God, it was a life-changing experience. And, you know, they just, you know, some of them didn't trust him. They thought he was kind of being a spy. And he was just kind of coming after him and wanting to get in and get them to trust him and then, you know, maybe arrest them and get him because, you know, they was afraid that maybe he was going to maybe put them to death or drag them to jail. And Barnabas, whose name means encouragement, he was had that personality. He just wanted to accept Paul or Saul and bring him into the fold. So, you know, he reached out, even though everybody else kind of stayed away, kind of shunned him. Barnabas reached out to him. I don't know about you, but I've had some Barnabases in my life that's reached out to me, that brought me in and made me feel. I remember when I first came to Christ, or coming to Christ, I hadn't totally come yet, a guy who I was around and I was in a group, a singles group in the church, and you know, he would just reach out to me and make me feel welcome. You know, I felt insecure there because I knew I wasn't quite right yet. You know what I mean? Have you ever been not quite? Don't raise your hand if you're not quite right, because we don't want to give it away. But I knew I wasn't quite right yet. I wasn't there yet. So I was kind of concerned about, you know, letting people know me. But this guy just reached out to me. Just made me feel a part of the gang, you know. And that helped. God used him in the process of bringing me in, you know, in. And he was kind of my Barnabas who brought me in. And that was awesome. You know, it's one thing for you to for your friend to take a risk. But, you know, it's another thing when they drag you into it. And that's what happened here. Now, these people had been through a lot. Now we're faced with a decision, you know, similar to what you and I are faced with sometimes. Do we forgive our enemy, or do we avoid him? What do we do? I know what the Bible says, and you do too. But the Bible also said there's a disclaimer, which I kind of like. If your brother repents, forgive them. So there is a deal. If somebody doesn't truly repent, and repentance means turn direction, right? So I think, you know, you have to do some balance. We're going to go into that a little bit of how you approach somebody that's really hurt you before. And these factors that affect us, you know. And one of the factors that affects you and I from hopping right back into these relationships is fear. Afraid. Now, a lot of us probably wouldn't admit it that we're afraid, because we don't like to admit these kind of things in our life. But sometimes fear of these taking risks on somebody can have that effect. You know, we've been hurt, you know, like I mentioned, you know, maybe divorce has happened in your life. You know, maybe you didn't want the marriage to stop, but the other person, you know, you just can't control them. And in the process of what they're doing, you know, they did some very mean things to you and maybe your children, whatever the case may be. So they've really hurt you real bad, and now it's difficult. You know, and with divorce, sometimes all comes betrayal. You know, maybe you're still married, or maybe you've never been married, but yet somebody's betrayed you. You know, betrayal's tough. You know, and I don't know about if you've been betrayed, and we all have, you know, it makes us hard to open up and trust again. You know, I was thinking about a story in my own life that I remember when I was in junior high. For whatever reason, you know, it was a group of friends, and whatever reason, one of the ringleader got mad at me for whatever reason, you know, and, you know, kind of turned on me. And that was bad. But you know what was worse? Is that one of the other friends in the group came and pretended not to be mad at me so they could spy on me and to see if I would say something about this other person. To me, that was worse. The spy being spied on and that betrayal was worse than the fact of, you know, that, you know, it's all kids go through stuff, don't we? It didn't scar me for life, but I'm sure it affected me in some relationships later on, till God was my healer, amen? But all those things kind of, you know, factor in to our life, and, you know, it's an ugly world out there, and, you know, all these things come in, and that fear can hold us back from really trusting. So, and then another, maybe been in a business relationship and you got ripped off. You know, those things kind of happen too. So that kind of makes us fear. Now, Saul had hurt a lot of people, and people that the apostles loved. Now, we went into this. Remember the story of Stephen. Now, Stephen was in the ministry. He started out as a deacon. Remember, the apostles were so busy trying to keep things together with the preaching and teaching and prayer that they didn't have time to do everything. So what they did is they found some people, you know, and Stephen and Philip and several others. There's around six of them or so. I can't remember the exact number right now off the top of my head. But they appointed, they voted them in, and they became deacons, and they would go and serve the tables and make sure that everybody got a fair share. So they were laboring in the ministry with the apostles. And then as they were laboring in the ministry, God promoted Stephen and he was started to preach. And then in the process of this zealousness that he had for God, you know, something happened. He was stoned to death. And the apostles, one of their faithful followers, I think about people in the church that's been so faithful to me over the years, you know, Brian in the worship ministry and, you know, Jason and others that teach here, that just take such a load off of me. And how would I feel if I witnessed them being drug out of this church and being killed? Would I be able to accept the person that was a large part of that to be my friend? Does that make it a little more real? How would you answer that question? Somebody had killed, murdered somebody that you were close to. And now this person has the audacity to want to come into your group. And not only that, they want to be a preacher. They're saying, God's called me to preach. And this isn't very much longer since the fact that he had been arresting people and dragging them in. And so that was the decision that the apostles were faced with. You know, and they had to deal with that. And it didn't really just affect them. I mean, they had pledged their lives to Jesus. But that decision would be, if I accept him in and he turns on us, it's not just going to affect me, but it's going to affect all the believers. The whole church was going to be affected. So it was a big decision. Big decision. Bigger than the kind of decisions that you and I sometimes probably will make. So that was difficult. Now, another thing that keeps us from making the right decision, other than fear, is doubt. Doubt can keep us from taking risk. You know, could God really change Saul? You know, the apostles were forced with that. I mean, they'd lived with Jesus, walked with him, experienced some miracles, experienced some hard times. But can God really change Saul? Can people really ever change? We've all been there. We've seen some change, some not change, right? Have you? Be honest. Seen some people get on fire, and before you know it, they got a bucket of water on them. They're out again, you know. Hot and cold. That's just the way it is. That's part of what we have to deal with. You know, personally, I have more faith in transformation than I do reformation. You know, I have more faith in God being able to transform somebody and change your life than I do that people trying to reform each other or trying to reform themselves. I do believe in the power of God, and I hope you do too. You know, so I think that sometimes it's okay to be careful when you're wanting to trust again and kind of develop that, but you don't want to let fear and doubt hold you back in bondage. So I think what I call a controlled risk is a good option, where you start to let this person incrementally back into your life or into your life just to see if the fruit is there. And I think that's a good process that you and I can learn from. You know, now we've talked about fear, which is terrible bad, and we've talked about doubt, because the Bible, you know, if you doubt, you go without, right? You ever heard that one? So those things are bad. But there's one more thing that you and I have to be careful of that is worse than both of those two, in my opinion, put together. And I will tell you next week. No, just kidding. It's called cynicism. Cynicism. That's a big word, isn't it? It's not a big word, but it's hard to say. Harder to spell. Praise God for spell check. Amen? Cynicism. Cynicism can keep us from taking a risk. Have you ever ran into a cynical person, somebody really negative? That's what it means. Sometimes we get negative, don't we? And that's one of the things that you and I have to guard, even worse than fear and doubt, because cynicism comes in and it can really have a large effect on how we do everything. You know, cynicism happens when we view everything through preconceived prejudices. Maybe we've been hurt, we've been burned, we've been stabbed in the back, all these things. So then you go through life, and when you look at, I'm just going to meet somebody here today, say, Rebecca, well, I've been hurt before. Well, I don't trust her. I've been hurt before. She's like the rest of them, right? Just like the rest of them. They're all going to get you. And that's what happens when we get cynical. A cynical person says a couple things, you know, and what they say is, number one, people don't change. They say people can't be trusted. They say that taking a risk isn't worth it. Then the kicker, which justifies it, is they say, I'm just being realistic. Right? Have you ever done that? I'm a very practical person. I'm just being realistic. You know, I was thinking about that. You know, if we're of that mindset that we say that we're just being realistic, this came to my spirit. You know, we need to pray, God, help me not to be always realistic, but help me to be optimistic. Yeah. Being realistic's okay. You know, knowing not to jump off a cliff, that's realistic, man. You know what I mean? But also help me to be optimistic and knowing that maybe I can make that jump. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, being optimistic about it. And I think people that's been involved in church and involved in ministry is something that, you know, that we all need to be aware that we don't allow ourselves to get cynical and start to look at things around us and people around us knowing, you know, that, you know, hey, they're never going to change, they're never going to do this, yada, yada, yada. All these things happen because we have to understand this. People's going to let us down because people are people. So how do we apply this? Got a couple points here how we can apply this today. Number one, maybe you've been hurt before and this is how you can maybe fix it. Take time to hear their story, but yet when you hear the story, you need to hear it with a new set of ears. You know, Barnabas took time to listen to Saul. Barnabas was hiding too, just like everybody else. He knew Paul's reputation, but yet he knew that he wanted to give him a benefit of doubt, so he listened with a new set of ears. And instead of listening with your head, sometimes you got to listen with your heart. You know, most people in conversation, a lot of times, are thinking about how to respond to what we think the other person's saying instead of really listening to what they're saying. We're all probably guilty of that, especially in marriage, right? We have preconceived ideas of what our spouse is going to say. So we're thinking of a response to that instead of really hearing, you know, maybe they got something new, man. Give them benefit of the doubt, right? You know, hear it with a new set of ears. You know this old joke, God gave us two ears and one mouth. Guess what? We ought to do more. We ought to listen twice as much as we talk. Okay, next, verify the facts. Check out their story. Barnabas met with him alone before he brought him to the rest of the people. You know, we don't have to open all up the first day. You know, taking a risk doesn't mean putting yourself in a dangerous situation. You know, and that's something you got to really use wisdom with. You know, I believe time reveals all things, and time is a great thing. You know, especially as you start to look back through life, you know, you kind of understand how important time is and how it does reveal the truth about certain things. And like I said, take incremental steps. Next, trust in God's power to change people. You know, that's what the gospel's all about. You know, remember, he changed you, right? So who are we if we don't think God can change somebody else? That just helps me to stay on track. Because I know where God brought me from, and I know God has the power, so he can do it. You know, and we all needed a Barnabas, or we need to be a Barnabas from time to time in life. You know, everybody's going to need a Barnabas. I thank God for my Barnabas. And there's times that I've maybe been a Barnabas, where I've reached out to somebody that maybe didn't feel like they fit in. And lastly, if we don't if we do get hurt or taken advantage of, you know, we're in good company. They did it to Jesus, right? You know, he was hurt. He was betrayed. All these things happened to him. And what I like about it is that he can heal us. Right? So relationships are risky business, but they're worth it. And, you know, we need to learn to trust again and allow ourselves to get close to others. Remember, at any given time, we either need to be a Barnabas or we need a Barnabas. And I think we need to remember that. Let's pray.